Welcome back to the Native Waters on Arid Lands podcast, where we're talking with different members of our research team about their work. This is Kelsey Fitzgerald, and today I'm here with Dr. Kinda Curtis, who is a professor and extension economist in the Department of Applied Economics at Utah State University. Hey, Kinda, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Kelsey. Thanks for having me.
To get started, can you tell us a little bit about your background and area of expertise?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. So as you mentioned, I'm an agricultural economics professor at Utah State University, and I'm also the state food and agricultural marketing specialist. So most of my interests are primarily actually in consumer economics. So I study how people make decisions about the food they purchase and consume, and why someone would be willing to pay premiums for organic foods or local foods and those types of things. And obviously that's not super related to this project, but when I was a professor at UNR from 2003 to 2010, I actually did several studies looking at the profitability of agricultural crops and looking at low water use crops and adaptability to changes in water availability. And two people working with me, Carol Bishop and Malika Landis, were also on that project that was related to the Walker River. So that's kind of how I ended up on this project.
Great. And can you tell us a little bit about your role in this project?
Sure. I am one of the primary project directors. My particular aspect of the project is to look at cropping and livestock management strategies that will lend themselves well to some of the predictions in climate change that are supposed to be happening, already happening and happening over the next 40 to 50 years. So basically, looking at current cropping and current livestock strategies on all of the 9 reservations and how they react to changes in water availability, how they react to changes in temperatures, variability in temperatures, increased pressure from pests and weeds and those types of things. And so we'll be looking at current, see how they essentially hold up to these changes, and then also at potential alternatives to reduce risk within agriculture as these climatic changes happen.
Kinda, can you tell us a little bit about the areas of your research that involve collaboration with tribal partners?
We have, over the past year and a half, been doing a needs assessment with tribal partners at the annual project summits that have been held the last 2 years in Las Vegas, and then more recently at the Climate Resilience Workshop in Reno. We are also actively talking to the federally recognized tribal extension program agents on the tribes and other extension personnel that work with tribal members to get an idea of what types of information and what types of things would be helpful to them. And so it is an active collaboration with tribal partners, and it will continue to be. A lot of the things that we produce from our part of the study will be used for outreach and for information and extension workshops with the tribes after the project's finished.
Great. And Kinda, what are some of the goals of your work?
We're hoping to provide critical information to agricultural producers on the tribes regarding potential profitability of some of their current cropping and livestock systems and potential ones that they could look to adopt or perhaps put more in the future. And anything that's going to be able to hold up to climate change and also grass and other grazing strategies to maintain soil integrity and these types of things if land is fallow or it's not being able to use for, say, traditional crops due to climate change impacts.
Kinda, what do you think has been the most interesting thing you've learned so far in your research?
Well, it's interesting because this project obviously has a lot more moving parts and variables than the project that I did last time, which really just looked at low water use planning. This one is a lot to do with the risk and the variability that's going to be involved in agricultural production in the future. And we're starting to see that moving from perennial crops like alfalfa into annual crops like triticale could be a really good management strategy because it allows the farmer or rancher to basically change their planning every year based upon the current situation rather than having a 5 to 8 year time horizon that they would have with a perennial crop.
For people that don't know what triticale is, could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I'm not an agronomist, but it's a grass basically, and it's great for beef cattle. They love it. But it is an annual, and then also it's used for humans, like Bob's Red Mill has a triticale cereal. So it's got good market access, a lot of potential. It's very low in gluten, which has good market potential these days. And so again, when we look at a current crop or a possible potential crop or livestock product, having a good market and potential market access in the future is also a really important part of our decision and our analysis.
Kinda, what are some of the target areas for your research in the coming year?
We are going to be finalizing the set of cropping and livestock systems per area or zone in the next few months, and then we'll be starting to create what we call enterprise budgets, cost and returns budgets for all of the crops and livestock systems identified, and then the risk return analysis, as if, for instance, it was a stock and you were going to invest in something, you kind of have to look at what its potential return would be over time. And that's what we do with agriculture, because actually it is an investment. It's just kind of a different investment than us non-agricultural people are traditionally used to investing in.
How do you see your work integrating with the other Native Waters Project activities?
My work actually is really dependent on some of the other work. We're having to use the climate data generated by the project that's been luckily done already to give us an idea of what the potential situation, both weather-wise and water availability-wise, is going to be happening over the next 20 to 40 years. And so we've had to use that to come up with ways that we have to then analyze whether the crops economically will stand up to those types of changes. And then our particular study outputs will fuel a lot of what's done from the outreach and extension side in that group later on when they go around and basically provide this information and deliver it and those types of things.
Is there anything else you'd like people to know about your work?
I don't know. I hope that we can actually provide really impactful and useful information. That's always my goal, and we're hoping to be able to do that. Unfortunately, a lot of the studies really say that the tribes in the Southwest region are going to be very adversely impacted by climate change, and so anything we can do to preserve agriculture as a decent economic strategy on the tribes is important. So that's what we're hoping to do.
Great. Well, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Funding for the Native Waters on Arid Lands project is provided by the United States Department of Agriculture, National Institute of Food and Agriculture. Music for this podcast came from Poddington Bear on the Free Music Archive. If you'd like to learn more about the Native Waters on Arid Lands project, please visit our website at nativewaters-aridlands.com, where you can find more episodes of this podcast and also supplemental information to go along with each episode. Thanks for listening!